We want to take some time to thank God for who He is and what He did in His life, for His accomplishments, and for His faith in Christ. So before we sing together, let's pray. Father, your word says precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. And so we rejoice that one of your servants has come home safely. And yet in the rejoicing, there's also grief. We rejoice because we know our friend and brother Gabe is experiencing the fullness of joy in your presence. But we grieve because we have lost a friend and a brother. Thank you for the comfort that your word provides in revealing to us that our grief is not wrong. And so we pray that you'd be our comforter, our healer at this time. They'd wrap your arms around us and give us the peace that passes understanding. Lord, be our rock and our refuge, our ever-present help in our time of need, our strong tower, our mighty fortress. Lord, thank you for the life of your servant Gabe, for his love for you, for his commitment to you, his faithfulness in serving the church, for his friendship to us all, and for his great sense of humor and that always brought a smile to our face and made us laugh. We will miss our dear friend. But Lord, as we miss him, we pray that you'd remind us that it'll only be for a little while. And so, Lord, during our service this morning, give us the grace to both grieve and rejoice, to lament and to praise. And may our time this morning shine a bright light on your love and grace and mercy, and that you'd comfort us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, would you stand as we sing together?
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Please be seated.
Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.
I'll be reading from Psalm 103, verse 13, and Isaiah 66, verse 13. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear God.
Now we're going to share some remembrances of Gabe. I'm sure we all have stories. We could be here all afternoon. We've chosen a few people to come and share this morning. Alex?
It's very nice to see all you here today. As you can tell by my humor and good looks, I'm Gabe's son. Alex, if he were here right now, he would say, I'm almost glad to see you. And really, that was my father. A smile that was so disarming, could melt any heart. He was possessed of a warmth and a charisma unmatched. I was with a friend the other day, and she tells me, you know, if you met your father once, you knew him. And that is my dad. As a father, you know, him and my mother are unmatched. They work tirelessly. My sister and I, we never wanted for anything. You know, when I made the very few mistakes that I did, I was never made to feel bad for them. Instead, you know, they taught me the difference between right and wrong and reached down and picked me up off the ground. That's my parents. That's my father. He was an amazing example. Even when he was tirelessly rehabbing after a spinal cord injury that never took his smile away, he worked hard, swore he was going to walk again, get that two-seater car with one seat for his walker. It never gave up, and I never once heard my father complain, where some people just might, they may be down. That was not my dad. He was tirelessly positive and warm. And even though my father is gone, we can keep him in our hearts, and we can see that his memory lives on. We can smile. We can live a life of love. We can extend that love outwards towards everybody we come across. And then by doing that, we'll see that his name lives on. Thank you.
Gay was a dear friend of mine. And I'm here to share some experiences I had with him. My name is Jerry Weisbach, by the way. I did not see much of Gabe when he first came here to Crossroads Community Church. My friendship with him began shortly after his spinal surgery when I visited him at Spalding Rehab Hospital in Boston. Already then, it was obvious how good-hearted he was. He would start conversation with anyone and everyone who came into his room. Later, after returning home, he rode a van to therapy sessions at Spalding and journeyed forward several times a week. Gabe cared about people. He would make every attempt to know the van drivers and therapy specialists. He knew them all by name. Gabe loved to kid and kid around and joke. A number of months ago, Diana, my wife, and I went to Pennsylvania to visit my sister. There, next to a grocery store we frequented, was a newly evacuated building. On the building was a large banner with the announcement, "Gabe's coming soon." Thinking Gabe would get a kick out of this, I took a picture of the banner and sent it to him. Well, as a joke, he posted the picture on Facebook with the caption stating that, "It's now official. We're moving to Pennsylvania to open a Haitian restaurant." There were many responses congratulating him and wishing him success. It worked, he must have thought, though I suspect most saw through it all. Anyway, he had a lot of fun with it, and a few days later, he went on Facebook and acknowledged it was a joke. Gabe was tenacious and persistent. He worked very hard at his therapy sessions. I typically visited him on Thursdays after a rowing session at Spalding. Sometimes after a particularly exhausting session, when he got home, he would say, "That was a tough day. I think they're trying to kill me." He was, of course, just kidding, and I'm sure many of you may have heard him say that same thing in a different context. I admire Gabe for sticking with his therapy so long. Sometimes, because of sickness, he missed a week or so of therapy. To him, this was a great setback, because after he recovered, he would have to ease back into his surgery and to his therapy until he regained his strength that he lost while he was sick. But he stuck with it, and that's what I admired in him. A major accomplishment he had was by rowing up to 8,000 meters a week. For over 2 years, he became the million-meter man for rowing 1 million meters, of course. That was real dedication. Gabe loved Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island. He and Maggie have many friends there. When their friends visited Massachusetts, they would stay often at Hotel Peen, as he liked to call this place, his home. Several years ago, Diana and I went to Nova Scotia. Before we went, Gabe suggested all the places we should go. And after we returned, he asked about all the places where we had been. He himself had been there many times and had been looking forward to going there again someday. He invited us along, and that was really something special. Some people in circumstances similar to Gabe's might be depressed, unhappy, or even angry. Not so Gabe. Not that he never felt the weight of his circumstances, but he always said, no matter how bad things seemed to be, there was always someone who was worse off. He repeatedly told me, "I'm really blessed," raising his hands heavenward. His complete trust in the Lord was exemplary, and he knew the Lord was with him in all the circumstances of his life. He did not hesitate to tell others about it. He also told me how so much he was blessed to have Maggie at his side, taking good care of him. He expressed to me on numerous occasions that he could never have managed without her and was so thankful for her. He'd ask for prayer that she would be given the continued strength to care for both him and Maggie's mom, Ruth. The Lord blessed him through people at Crossroads, and he appreciated all the help he had from them over the years. He loved talking with his church family before and after the service. He would sit back there in his wheelchair and have a great time talking to those that came by. Recently, he told me how he loved Crossroads Church, and he would like to get up in front of the congregation someday and shout out, "I love this church." I admire Gabe for the persistence in his therapies, the joy he projected to those around him, the caring heart he had for others, and his total trust in the Lord. It was truly an honor to have him as a friend. I will greatly miss him, as will many others. Though he is gone from us now, I can rejoice, or we can all rejoice, that he is with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for all eternity. And he's without a wheelchair.
Good morning. My name is Levi Desronville. I have been feeling sad, disturbed, and disoriented by the sudden departure of Gabe. On this occasion, I reverently salute Mrs. Manot Pin, Maggie, Alex, and Michelle Pin. My sympathy also goes to Dr. Pierre-Etienne Pin and his wife, Erna. To Mireille Pin and spouse, and all the others, members of the family and friends affected by this loss. Gabe has been my friend, a brother, for many years. He was from Pilate, and I from Plaisance, two lovely and hospitable towns of the northern part of Haiti, separated only by a 9-mile distance. We had a chance to go to Cape Haitian to further continue our studies. Him at College Notre Dame and I at Lycée Fitzgerald. In this environment, we gathered and enjoyed similar souvenirs and assimilated the cultural elements for the formation of our moral character and personality. By coincidence, we met again in the city of Waltham, Massachusetts, where we were living within a few blocks from each other. There, we reshaped our friendship, making plans to travel through Boston, Cape Cod, and New York. Gabe was always an attractive person, running jokes, caring, sharing, and supportive to others. With his natural and sociable skills, he brought smile wherever he went, comforted others by turning a situation of despair into a happy one. Gabe was the guy around whom you wish to be all the time. He was a great father who treated his children with abundant love and admiration. No sacrifice was too great for Gabe when it came to the welfare of his kids. He also was a lovable individual who cared for his mother, whom he called Meme. He loved his wife with passion and interacted with her according to the principle drawn on dialogue, understanding, and mutual respect. So did he with his friends, brothers, and sisters. For all the above, we love Gabe and feel that he left too prematurely, too early. Peace to you, sir. Thank you.
For God has not called us unto wrath, but unto salvation. No matter what, if you're dead or you're alive, you are alive in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus told the story about a man who had a friend, had visited from a long journey. And he came to him asking for food and water, and he said, I have none. But I have a friend that I'd like to visit. Maybe he can help. Knocked on the door at midnight, and the man cried out from his bed. He said, what do you want? My friend's here from a long journey, and we have no food or water. It's midnight, he cried out, but because of this man's importunity, he got out of bed, went to the cupboard, and procured 3 loaves of bread. And he brought them to the front door, and he gave them to his friend. The man in the house was Gabe. The man at the threshold was myself. For 27 years, he did just that. A bunch of people gathered around Jesus. And they said, you talk so affectionately about your father. I mean, what's the story? How do we talk to your father? And so Jesus gave what was commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And he said, this is how it goes. If you'd like to bow your heads and say the prayer with me, I'll do my best to sing it for you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Gabe and I lost a mutual friend not too long ago, and when I went to his house these last weeks to visit with him, he would say to me, is the chairman really gone, Vinny? Is the chairman really gone? This man that we lost had been a CEO, had been a founder of a company, and so Gabe gave him that nickname, the chairman. And over the last week or so, I've been asking myself that same question. Is Gabe really gone? Is Gabe really gone? Why do I ask myself that question? Maybe it was because he seemed so strong. Big guy, strong guy. And all the things that we heard about him this morning, there was a strength inside of him. But it was more than that, really. It was that the joy of the Lord was his strength. The joy of the Lord. God's joy was his force. God's joy was his fortress. God's joy was his rock. And Gabe was filled with this kind of joy. It wasn't like he had a little bit. He had a lot of joy. Here at the church, as we said, he sat in the back, and someone said he was always front and center, even though he was in the back of the room. And I think the reason that he was front and center is because he was filled with this joy. He was overflowing with joy. He had joy watching the squirrels and the birds and the groundhogs feeding outside his sliding glass doors. Perhaps he had joy when the neighborhood hawk came and tried to feed on those other animals. I don't know. He had joy as he listened to his friends play bluegrass music. Joy when people came by the house to visit him. Joy to gather and worship with his church family. joy when he talked about her, when he spent time with his immediate family or his extended family. All that is true. But what Gabe would want you to know today is that he didn't manufacture this joy. This joy came from his relationship with Jesus Christ. And this joy was a fruit that only the Holy Spirit of God could produce in him. Because of Christ, he was able to count it all joy when he fell into different kinds of trials. Gabe's joy was better medicine than any doctor could prescribe for him. Gabe knew that he would one day meet his Savior. He would meet his Savior face to face. And no one could take that joy from him. Now he's in the presence of God, and Gabe is experiencing what we would call fullness of joy. Yes, he was filled with joy here on this earth, but now he is completely filled with joy. Gabe was filled with joy, and the thing is, he didn't want to keep it to himself, did he? So he took initiative with others, and we've heard some stories about that already today. He'd say to me, "Vinny, when are you going to come see me? Vinny, when you come see me, make sure you bring me a large iced coffee with cream and two sweet and lows. You know my people love free stuff." "Vinny, I had nothing to do right now, so I called you." Okay. Thanks, Gabe. I learned quickly that Gabe had this insatiable desire to be with people, to talk to people, to relate with others. If I visited him once a month, he wanted me to come twice a month. If I visited him twice a month, he wanted me to come three times a month. But what Gabe would want us to know is that he served an initiative-taking God. He was just serving his God, and the God that he knew was a God who took initiative. Jesus explained this. He said, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him." So we can't come to Christ unless the Father first draws us. The Father God has to take initiative with us. And thank God that God has taken initiative with each one of us. God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinning, yet while we were turning our backs on God, he was taking initiative with us. You don't have to do anything before God initiates a relationship with you. In fact, you can't do anything to get him to initiate a relationship with you. He initiates because he can do no other. He does it because of who he is, not because of who you are or what you do. Jesus' closest disciple, his name was John, and John reveals Jesus as the true light. And he says that this true light gives light to everyone. Jesus shines his light to everyone. So while you can't take initiative for your own salvation, you can't take initiative in your relationship with God, you can receive the light that Jesus is shining into your life. He's taking the initiative with you. And if you did this, if you received this light that Jesus is shining into your life, I can assure you, this would be the defining moment of your life. This was the defining moment of Gabe's life. My hunch is that someone here is beginning to see that light today. God is giving you the light of Jesus Christ, and the question is whether or not you'll receive it. That is what Gabe would want for you more than anything else. Because this is the light that shines so brightly in his life. And it was this light that gave a lamp for his feet. We all need to be able to see in front of us what's happening in front of us. And the Word of God was that lamp that provided Gabe a way to see what was in front of him. And this Word of God was also a light to his path. When Gabe looked forward, the Word of God led the way on that path for him. This light is what gave Gabe the joy that we so enjoyed and what caused him to reach out to others. I also wrote down Gabe's joy, yes. Gabe's initiative, yes. They all remind us of God. But there was one more thing that came to mind for me. And that was the way that Gabe encouraged so many people. I visited him at the hospital one time and he introduced me. The nurse literally walked in the room. He said, "Vinny, this..." And then he said, would you pray for her? I didn't know anything about her other than she was a nurse. And I knew that Gabe wanted me to pray for her, and I knew that Gabe wanted me to encourage her in some way. Before I left the room, someone called on the telephone. I didn't know who it was. I never met the person. Gabe handed me the phone and said, pray for her. I prayed for another woman I didn't know anything about because Gabe wanted to encourage her. Gabe out encouragement liberally. But where did he get his encouragement from? Gabe received his encouragement from the God of all encouragement. I'm not sure if you've ever associated God with encouragement. You know, some of us grew up in some churches where that's not the first word that we have associated with God. But who can fill you with more courage than the Creator of the universe, the one who was and is to come, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, and the all-loving God? Gabe received his encouragement from the ancient scriptures of the Old and New Testaments found in the Bible. He understood that it was all written there for our encouragement. Gabe used what he learned to build people up in their faith. If they had no faith, then Gabe was encouraging them toward having faith someday. Gabe knew that the time was short, that he could die any day, or that Jesus could come and return to receive him. So he used every chance that he had to tell his story with others. And he would often tell me, Vinny, we all have a story to tell, and we have to tell the story. We have a story to tell, and we must tell it. His story included grief and loss in his family. It included back trouble, surgeries, setbacks, wheelchairs, and lots of exercise to get his body back into shape. But along the way, he was always telling his story. And the reason he told his story and included so many people in his story is because he wanted to encourage them. His story was that despite the trials that he faced in life, that he was fleeing for refuge and receiving the strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that was set before him. And he wanted everyone that he came into contact with to also flee to that refuge and receive the same encouragement to hold fast to the hope that he received in Christ. Some of us here today need to take refuge. We need the strength. And we know it. And we're struggling to find hope. Gabe would encourage us to turn where he turned, and that was to Jesus. A friend of mine recently handed me a book, and I started reading. The book was written by John Bloom. And he talks about this idea of turning to Christ, and I wanted to read you a little section from that. He says about turning to Christ that God does not always answer with the speed that we desire when we ask God for something, nor is his answer always the deliverance that we hope for. But he will always send the help that is needed. His grace will always be for sufficient for those who trust him. The hope we taste in, the promises we trust, will often be the sweetest thing we experience in this age. Let me read that again. The hope we taste in, the promises we trust, will often be the sweetest thing that we experience in this age. And the reward of God's fulfillment of these promises will be glorious and beyond our imagination. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, you are the Father of all mercies, who cares for all your people with an everlasting love. You are the God of all comfort, who consoles all those who are suffering the death of a loved one. You are the God of all peace, who has promised to pour your perfect peace into our hearts, into the hearts of your children who are going through the pain and suffering that the loss of a precious loved one brings. O Lord, we pray that you would become our strength in this time of loss, that you would be our hope in this time of bereavement, that you would be our joy in this time of sorrow, and our perfect peace in the turmoil that our hearts are facing. We thank you that the sting of death has been forever broken and the curse of the grave has been destroyed through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has broken forever the power of death and hell for all who trust in the name of the Son of God. Speak into the hearts of your children that are mourning at this time, and let them not mourn as those that have no hope. But Lord, for those that do not yet know you as their Savior, the Savior who died for them, so that believing they might have everlasting life, we pray that they will come to know and accept you as their Savior and find their perfect rest in you. In Jesus' name we offer this prayer. Amen. Well, sometimes we sing songs at times like this, and it's maybe not reflective of the life of the person who died, but somebody said as they looked at what we're about to sing, "It is well with my soul," that it was well with Gabe's soul. And may it also be well with all of our souls as we rise together. You sounded great earlier, like a massive choir. Let's lift our voices in praise.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial shall come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
We want to thank you all for being here today, and we want to invite you to join us downstairs for a time of refreshment in the fellowship hall. You just go out the back and then down the stairs. If you have not signed the guest book, well, we would welcome you to do that on your way out as well. It's when you walk through the double doors, it's right there. Let's close with a final prayer. Eternal God, you are the maker of heaven and earth. You formed us from the dust of the earth. And by your breath, you gave us life. So we glorify you. Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, you tasted death for all humanity. And by rising from the grave, you open the way to eternal life. We praise you. Holy Spirit, you are the author and giver of life. You are the comforter of all who sorrow, our sure confidence and everlasting hope. We worship you. To you, O blessed Trinity, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.